Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Welcome to ES First. We are fasting. Fasting is setting aside food or something else for a spiritual purpose. We've been doing that for a week now. How is anybody fasting with us? And how's that going for you? Give me some feedback. Yes or no? Is good? Bad? Has anybody like completely fallen off the rocker and went straight to like Burger King? Nobody? You have? Has anybody found out good ways to cheat yet? Like, I mean, just like, you know, you're like, I know these French fries aren't, you know, the most nutritious and delicious, but they are technically vegetables, and they're in vegetable oil, and I'm rocking them. Anybody like that? Nobody's like, I don't know. All right. Anybody still drinking my favorite juice, which is coffee? Anyway, you work that into your, you know? Has anybody given up, like, cream and sugar in their coffee, just went straight black? Like, you know, I got to have this to survive, and so I'm gonna go straight black. Okay. That's awesome. I'm glad that you are all figuring out how to exist with this thing. The awesome part of fasting is that we actually experience a change. We experience something different. And the whole point of setting aside something is oftentimes we get comfortable with existing the way that we always exist. And so a fast, when we set aside stuff for a spiritual purpose, is setting aside comforts and things that we normally lean on, and then learning to lean on God and what He has for us. And so hopefully during this time, and you're trying to figure out what you can eat and what you can't eat, more than trying to satisfy your appetite, you're actually satisfying your spirit with prayer, communication with God, expectancy for what God is going to do. And that is the point of a fast. A fast doesn't necessarily like, well, I'm going to give up food, God, and then you're going to give me this. It's not the point of the fast. It's not a bargain. It's not some kind of transaction. What it is you actually seeking the face of God and the heart of God so that it becomes a part of you. And then because of you becoming more intimate with God, His power flows more freely and greatly in you. Say amen. And hopefully you're experiencing that, and hopefully you're growing to a place where you are enjoying that trade-off. And throughout your life, we want to get you to where, like, you don't just go 21 days and then forget about fasting. We want fasting to be a regular part of your life. We want, in March, when you want to grow closer to God, you'd be like, what can I do to grow closer to God? It's not another devotional, although devotionals are great. It's actually you taking time out and space to find God. And so last week I preached about Isaiah 58, and he says, this is the kind of fast that I've chosen, that you would, you know, put aside some of these traditional ways that you just always want to get to God, religious ways, like, well, I'm going to play my favorite song, and then I'm going to crank it up in the car, and then when they hit the part where they're like, Jesus, Jesus, I know every time that part comes on, I almost run into the guardrail and hit the person next to you, I start crying, I can't see, and then one day you're playing that song, and it doesn't happen that way. Why? Because religious things don't sustain you. Religious things don't sustain you. I'll say it again. Religious things will not sustain you. But a heart for God within religious things will. And so what Jesus is saying in Isaiah 58, he's saying this. He's saying that when you start to fast and become religious, what happens is you start to set up traditional things that you will do because you know that they get you to God before. Right? And so you lean on things that are set up systems, but they're not the way to get to God because God is spirit. And when Jesus was talking to, you know, this young woman at the well, he says, when you worship God, you got to worship in spirit and in truth. Right? And the Bible says the spirit is like the wind. It's blowing all the time. It goes wherever it wants to. And that takes you listening. It takes you taking time. It takes you finding out what God is doing and chasing after what God is doing. That takes a little bit of pliability. And oftentimes we get everything just the way we want it, and then we want to add God to our system, and which a system is great, but that's not the way you find God. You actually find Him by listening, following and becoming obedient. So Isaiah 58, he says, I want you to set aside your traditional ways of fasting, your traditional religious ways of doing things, and I want you to tune into my heart for yourself, my heart for you, my heart for people around you, my heart for your nation, my heart for your community, my heart for what's going on. He says, and then when you do that, the things that are seemingly dark around you, your light will spring forth, and actually you'll begin to walk in the light that God has for you. That's incredible. And so last week we talked about your dark situations where we invite God into. That's a beautiful and wonderful thing. And hopefully you have written down and begin to think about some dark situations that you want God to come into, which won't happen just because you gave up steak this week. It won't happen just because you gave up your regular lunch. It will happen because you begin to seek God. And you're so serious about it, you're willing to give up the things of this life in order to find him. Does it make sense? So that's why we're fasting. So today I want to talk to you about Isaiah 60, and we're going to get deep, and then we're going to celebrate all week long until the Chiefs play a team that may or may not beat them. But we have a cool quarterback, and I'm guessing that we can probably defeat anybody who stands against us. Say amen. Amen. All right. Here's where I go. So Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. The thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of God. It is so supernatural, it's so amazing that it doesn't hold our faults against us, but comes into our hearts and lives and gives us the power to become all that you've created us to be. I pray today as we look into your word, as we yield our hearts, that we would really just begin to marinate on who you are and rest in it in a special way that it affects everything around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here he is in Isaiah 60. The interesting thing is in 58, he says that darkness is there, but the light is rising in your darkness. It'll spring forth. It'll break out, we talked about last week. And that's a beautiful thing when your darkness becomes engulfed in Jesus' light. And this is only a couple chapters over. And Isaiah 60 is just a couple chapters over from that light breaking forth. But then he says this. He's actually talking to a people who are oppressed. They're actually in captivity, which is like a whole nation takes a whole another nation and puts them in prison and makes them slaves. It's a thing that's going on. But God is speaking to his people. And Isaiah 60 says this, I want you to arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, last week we talked about how your light has come, that you'll break forth like the dawn. But the thing that we have to do is not just receive a blessing and a miracle. We don't just bask in the fact that everything worked out and God did a great thing in our life. But actually, we begin to rise up from the place we're in and shine into the darkest areas. He says, actually, darkness is covering the whole entire earth. Darkness is covering the whole earth. It doesn't take too much observation to realize that the world is a dark place. Sometimes I get so angry at the things that are going on around me, and I think, God, what can I do about it? And God keeps bringing me back to this verse. He says, look, your light has broken forth, but you have to arise and shine. You have to arise and shine. It's up to us to become the people who are going to do something with what God is doing in us. And if we don't, our nation, our communities, our families will remain in darkness. Darkness. It's funny how things aren't always what they seem. Fasting actually looks like one thing. It actually looks like going without, right? Usually I mentioned fasting, but like, we're going to fast for 21 days. I think I talked to your brother one day, and when I was like, we're going to fast for 21 days. And he was like, he was like, I'm not doing that no more. You know, I did that before, I'm not doing that. And you mentioned fasting, and people have a mindset when they're on the outside of what we do here, or they're not used to fasting, they have this perspective of like, oh yeah, that sounds so good. I've been reading a lot about fasting. That would make me feel so good. You know, and like, no. I got, you know, you want to be healthy and you want to make a change in 2019 and all that stuff. It's like, well, you're going to give up fruit? Or are you going to give up, not fruits, you're going to eat fruits and vegetables? You're going to give up meat? Okay, well, maybe I could do that. You're going to give up sweets? What? Yeah, all sweets. Well, can I have this? Can I have that? You're going to give up dairy? I'm kind of lactose intolerant anyway, so I mean, I guess I could do that. And you're going to give up bread. Well, what do we eat? You know, just like fruits and vegetables, nuts and, you know, whatever. Well, I don't like vegetables, right? So if I don't like vegetables, then I'm not going to do that because I don't want to give up something. That sounds stupid, right? And that way we approach things. And then you kind of get duped into it. Somebody goes, yeah, you're going to do this with me. Yeah, we're going to do this. And you kind of go straight up for like, you know, a day or two. And you're all into it. And then you slip up and have the whole Reese's peanut butter cup. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to eat that, all right? And maybe it's intentional, maybe it's not intentional, but whatever it is, it sounds like sacrifice, and most people don't like it because it doesn't sound fun. The idea of it sounds great. It sounds like, wow, we're going to do this. We're going to conquer this. But actually what is happening, you're giving up something. But fasting is more than what it seems. It's actually not giving up. It's actually getting. And if you begin to fast and begin to pray and begin to participate in this thing the way that you're supposed to, you actually experience that. And probably a week in, you're already experiencing things that you didn't know you were going to experience just from what you've done for 7 days. It's crazy. You begin to experience answered prayer. You begin to experience intimacy with God. All of a sudden, you're just like sitting there and you're reading the TV guide. Is the TV guide a thing anymore? You're reading the Architecture Digest that's on your on your coffee table, and you just start crying. You're like, I don't know what's wrong with me, right? Like, because you have heightened spirituality, you have heightened sensitivity to things in the spirit. And so what happens is it's seemingly that we're giving up something just to be better. But what is happening is something is happening in the spiritual realm, and it is changing, and you're experiencing it in your natural realm. Most of us are so bent on trying to fix things in the natural that we forget about the supernatural. We forget about that there's things happening in the heavenlies. We forget that we want to talk about how, you know, Satan's after me today. And Satan, not today. And all this stuff that we're doing. And God gave me a flat tire, or Satan gave me a flat tire today. And he's really at work on me. And we want to talk about all these demons and things that plague us. But we don't ever, ever really look into the fact that God has dispatched angels around us continually. He has an answer for every demon that comes at you. He has power to deliver you. And so when we fast, we begin to join in with what's happening in places that we can't see. It's actually faith in things that are unseen. A lot of people will say faith is believing without seeing, which is fine, but believing in what? And if we were all to ask ourselves that specific question, believing in what? Somebody who doesn't know God would say, well, you know, just believe in the good in the world, which I believe in the good in the world. But is that enough? Believe that it'll just all work out. That's fine and dandy until you're in a situation where you believe that it will all work out and it doesn't all work out. You know what I'm talking about? It's one thing to have faith, a kind of frivolous hope that things will maybe go all right, but it's another thing to have faith in the power that is unseen that is working for you. The Bible says when you have faith that you are trusting what God has said to show up in your right now. And you don't have to speak really loudly, although you could. You don't have to like make a big noise. You don't have to like say it to everybody in order to have faith. You simply have to rest in what God has said. You have to rest in what God has said. And so many times we're not seeing what God wants to have happen in our today because we are trying to solve problems with right now kind of answers, right? And I'm all for answers. Like, if you're broke, you probably need to figure out a budget, right? That's a right now answer. It's not going to solve all your issues, right? You can get 100% of your money, right? You could be debt-free, talking about Dave Ramsey saved my life, which he might have, and glory to God for Dave Ramsey. But you could have $1 million in the bank and still have an empty soul. You could have your family intact, take all the greatest vacations, and still not feel wholeness. You can move forward from your divorce and have a relationship. You can move forward from a death in the family and seemingly be okay. But what happens is in those places, if I don't have an answer from heaven inside of me, then my life will be fragmented and broken. And all of us in our lives are looking for an answer that will heal us on the inside. On the inside. And some people take too long to find that answer. But I'm here to tell you, if you begin to seek God, he will have the answer for your life. I can't stand here and tell you what perfect thing will work out in your life. I could go through every issue you have, and you could want an answer from me or want an answer from the Bible, and I don't have any of that. Why? Because God is so perfectly tailor-knit to your life that he can answer your prayers in a way that only he can. But it will only happen, when you begin to set aside natural things for supernatural things. Supernatural things. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're broke and you don't have a budget, you can supernatural till the day is long. God wants you to have a budget. You know what I mean? It's like some stuff that we have to do, but it's not going to heal you until you get the supernatural involved. So here's what I'll tell you today. When Jesus was on the earth, he actually had these guys that he hung out with, or just called his disciples, or 12 of them. And they came to him, and they were like, you know, we see there's something different about you. Like, you go away in the morning, and you, like, I guess pray, you're talking out there in the woods. I mean, you get away, and you do a couple things, you come back, and God is doing supernatural things around you all the time. People are healed, and you're giving great wisdom, and crazy things are happening. I mean, we're out there on the boat. You were walking on the water. What was that all about? I mean, just crazy stuff has happened around you, God. And so they think there's something different about Jesus than what's happening in our lives. And so they ask him, God, teach us how to pray. Rabbi, would you teach us how to pray? Would you show us how it is that when you talk to God, it's different from how we talk to God. And most of us could line out our prayer life and be like, well, you know, here's what I pray. I pray, you know, God bless my family. God bless my kids. Give us this daily bread. You know, take care of my needs. Like, but most of us don't. We just kind of pray when we need something. We just ask for God to do something, to show up somehow, as if that's a prayer. It's not. It's a request. We've taken this word prayer and made it into an idea of us talking to the big man upstairs. But what actually prayer is communication. It's a talk with God. And so what we need to develop is, how do we talk to God? What's an effective way to talk to God? Have you ever been in a situation where you walked in and you just wanted to know what the other person was thinking so you knew what to say? I just wish I knew what you were thinking, right? Maybe it was when you were trying to buy a car and Nick Anderson's sitting in there and he's got like all these cars and you're like, I just want one of them. And he's like, well, I can get you a good deal. And you're like, well, how good of a deal? He's like, well, what can you spend? And you're like, well, I just want to know what you know, man. What can you do for me? That's the way it is in our life. We approach God with an idea of like, well, what can you do for me? What are you willing to do? So much so that we're willing to just, you know, throw it out there. Well, God, I really want this to happen, but we don't want to seem like needy or seem like we're, you know, so involved. And so we're like, hey, you know, I want this, God, but if it's your will, because somebody told us that's the way we're supposed to pray, which sounds like a terrible way to communicate. Have you ever walked into your wife and be like, honey, I would like dinner, if it's your will. And she's like, what? You walk into your husband, honey, could you go fill my car up with gas? If it be thou will. Sounds terrible, right? Could you pick up the kids after school? If it's your will. Right? That's not communication. It's not intimacy. It's not the way God has designed us. He has designed us to know him, to know his heart, to know what he's like, and then to operate accordingly in tandem, to be a pair that operates in life. And so when you come to me, hopefully I'm the kind of person that says, Brandon, will you pray for me? And I go, yeah, I've been talking with God this week, and I know what he's like, and I know that he would like to move in your life. And so I'm asking God, what do you want to have happen and how can I be a part of it? And that's a real relationship. That's actually something that's effective. That's actually something that I would like to have happen on a regular basis. The creator of the cosmos is interacting with me in my life and I get to interact with others. And Isaiah is saying that in Isaiah 60. He says, I want you to have your light spring forth from this fast. I want to break forth in your life. I want you to experience what I'm like. And then I want you to go and I want you to shine in the darkest places of the world. I want you to shine in the darkest places of your neighborhood. I want you to shine in the darkest places at your work. And we can go on and on and on about all the dark places that are happening around us. And most of us only have a Facebook idea of advice to give them. We have little snippets of information. Well, you just do you, girl, you know. I'm trying to think of something stupid to say. And I can't even think of one because they're so stupid. I just try to, like, take them in and then pass them out. You know, like, there's only one you. You get to be only you. You know, like, everybody else is taken. And you're like, well, great, you know. What am I supposed to do with that? That doesn't change their life. That isn't power for their darkness. It isn't supernatural and or natural. It's just a piece of earthly wisdom. A piece of earthly wisdom will get you one thing, but it's probably not effective for the thing that you really need. So the disciples come to Jesus, they say, how should we pray? Because you actually communicate to God. He says, well, you should pray like this. Now, this is a new idea. We pray it all the time. Our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Now, before this, Jewish people didn't even say the name of God. It was a whisper. It was a name that you didn't say. It was we say the word Elohim, which is what they would say, Elohim. And they didn't even say that name. They said, you don't say that. To this day, Jews don't even write the name God. They write G-D. So they don't dishonor the name of God. And what Jesus says, I want you to come to this person that you can't even say his name, the person that's way out there that you think is so absent, and I want you to approach him as Father, which means that you have a relationship that is so valuable that you get to exist together on a regular basis. A father is not somebody who runs away. A father is somebody who stays. A father is not somebody who's here and there sometimes. A father is somebody that you get to come home to and share your life with and begin to ask wisdom from. And you begin to mimic and you begin to mirror them. And when they're shaving in the mirror, you're up there cutting your face just like them, talking about, I'm just like daddy. And that's the way we need to be when we're with God. He is a father. He says, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. You're set apart, you're unique, you're like anybody else. And he says this one effective thing. He says, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth just like heaven. And most of the time, we're throwing up a prayer, slapping it to the ceiling, hoping that God will do something. And Jesus says, I want you to pray that whatever is done in heaven will be done right here on earth. that if it exists in heaven, I want it to exist here. They say that there's no more crying in heaven. I want that to exist here. That they say that there's healing in heaven. I want that to exist here. They say he's the Prince of Peace and peace is reigning and ruling in heaven. I want that to exist here. Whatever is in heaven, I get to pray, thy kingdom come, your will be done, right here, just like there. Jesus said, when you pray, you talk to your dad like that. And most of the time, we're talking about, I just don't have any peace. I'm just so full of anxiety. My anxiety is like a 10 today. Well, it's not in heaven. Well, that's heaven. Well, Jesus said, the first thing you pray is bring that junk right down here, Jesus. So when I don't have peace, there's peace in heaven? Yeah, bring it on down here. Come right on by here. I'm going to need some more of that. Right? I don't have patience. Well, guess what? Eternity is a very long time. So guess what? Everybody in heaven has lots of patience. There's no time clock. There's no traffic on the streets of gold. So if you're impatient, guess what? There's patience in heaven, and it is for you right here. Guess what? There's no demons in heaven. Some of you are plagued by your demons, and some of them may be real. Some of them may just be your past coming up, whatever that is, and you keep talking about your demons or whatever way. I just can't put the bottle down because of these demons. I got demons in my closet. I got demons here. I got demons there. You got demons everywhere. Well, guess what? Demons don't exist in heaven, so they don't have to exist in your space. I'm just talking. Just talking to you. I've been fasting for 7 days because I'm kind of juiced up. So whatever exists in heaven, I get to invite here. Think about that. Whatever exists in heaven, I get to invite here. The presence of God. People say this, I just feel like God's so far from me. God is not far from anybody in heaven, so he doesn't have to be far from you here. As a matter of fact, he says he makes his home in your heart. That's good stuff. At night, when you're sitting there and you're like, I just feel so lonely. Guess what? That is not the way you should feel. Your emotions are lying to you because heaven exists with the power of God. God is never far from you. He says he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And so whatever situation you're in here that you feel lonely in, he is with you. And last time I checked, I don't think you need anybody else but him in your situation. Even though you can invite other people, I don't mean like get rid of everybody. So don't talk to your wife and be like, hey, yeah, take a walk. I just need Jesus. But I do mean this. We're always looking for somebody to be there with us, to understand us. I just wish somebody would get me. You know, like God gets you. God's with you. He's there all the time. When you do that, you begin to grow in security. You begin to grow in who you are. You begin to grow in identity. You begin to grow in power. You begin to grow in love because the atmosphere of heaven becomes alive in you because you are willing to pray what Jesus said to pray in the first place, your kingdom come here on earth just like heaven. So whatever is in heaven, the Bible says that whatever is loosed in heaven can be loosed on earth. Whatever is bound in heaven can be bound on earth. Now this is kind of deep. I'm getting kind of deep today. Is that all right, Jeremy? I'm getting kind of deep, but I want you to identify with this. Whatever is in heaven has legal right to come to earth. Okay? Whatever is not in heaven has no legal right to be in your life. Works both ways. Whatever is loosed in heaven, whatever is free in heaven, can be free in your life. Whatever is bound in heaven has to be bound in your life. Some stuff that you're existing with simply because you do not know God well enough. So the Bible says that actually faith comes by hearing, and it comes by hearing the word about Christ. And if all you hear all week long is a bunch of crap, you don't know anything about Christ. But when we begin to renew our mind on what God has said, we get to know more about him. We know what he's like. We know what he wants, his desires, and we can pray accordingly. We can invite these things. Just the things I've said today are so powerful, but you didn't even know they existed for you because you're willing to watch Judge Judy instead of Judge Jesus. Does anybody really watch Judge Judy? I don't know. It seems like it's always on like at like the oil change place or something like that. Or maybe it was the dentist. I was at the dentist and it was on at the dentist. And I was like, Judge Judy, I actually kind of like Judge Judy. She'd make a great preacher, Judge Judy. She would get up and just shoot you straight. People would be really ticked off and they would leave. And anyway. What is it in your life that you want healed that is released in heaven, but you didn't know that it was available here? You wished it was, right? You've been like that? You know, like you wish on stuff, like, I wish I didn't go to work today. I wish I had a million, I wish I could win the Powerball. It's up to like 29, so I don't know how much it is. A lot, I think. I wish I could do that. I wish I could go on vacation. I wish I could be someplace warmer, Brenda Eels. We're wishing for things, but we never, ever invite what's in heaven into our life. Could it be that if we invited what was in heaven into our space, we wouldn't wish for so many things that were ineffective for us? It's supernatural in a way that we have to grip and hold on to it so that it will become what God wants to develop in our lives. If we don't do it, we'll live natural lives 70, 80 years and become people who never saw all that God could do simply because we wouldn't send an invitation. The invitation is key. The invitation is key. Jesus walks around doing miracles and he says things like, I want to do great miracles over there, but I can't simply because they won't believe me. So Jesus gives us the advice. He says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we cry about how heaven will be so wonderful and earth is so tragic, but we won't declare the first step in what Jesus has said. Lord, we invite your kingdom here. So Isaiah 60, he says, see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And this is one of my favorite parts of this whole thing, is that it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Here's the thing. He says, arise and shine. Most of the time, what we want is we want a spotlight from heaven hitting us. And if a spotlight from heaven hits you, you look bright, but you technically don't shine. In order to shine, you don't reflect. You actually receive in a way that it becomes your own identity. And when it is your identity, you're not just reflecting God, you are shining the light of God that is in you, it is for you, it is inside of you in such a spectacular way because you are the person who said, if it's in heaven, I want it right here. I want it in my space so that I can transfer this light to the darkest places of the world. And people, nations will come to the light of God that's inside of you. Nations will come. And it's not about popularity. It's about the nations of darkness. It's about the nations of people who need what you have. And they'll say, there's something about you. But you'll try it for a day. You'll try it for a day. And the next day you're back to the same old complaining. I don't know my anxiety. I don't know. I just feel so depressed. I don't know. I just feel so lonely. Can I talk to you for a minute? Can you give me some advice? You need to begin to pray down and invite heaven into every situation that you have. You begin to hear the voice of God. Hear what Jesus is saying to his church about how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. And in a fast where you begin to put stuff away, what actually happens is you put away food and all of a sudden you're like, I'm putting away food and it seems like I'm being obedient to a fast, but all of a sudden I'm wanting to put other stuff away. My obedience factor is growing. It's like, I didn't even know this was something that was against you, God, but it seems like you don't want me to do it anymore. And it's just simple little things that God is pruning your life and cutting off things so that every time you ask, God, bring your kingdom to me. Bring heaven to earth. Let what is in heaven be established right here in my space, in my time. He's saying, yeah, I see you're making room for me. I see you're making room for that thing. It is a beautiful and wonderful thing that is like nothing else on earth because it's heaven. Trust me, cheesecake is beautiful. Hot wings are amazing. Oh man, a 2-inch thick New York strip. I guess Kansas City strip here. It's delightful. And I have the right steak, man. I put it in my mouth and I'm like, man, this is like heaven. The funny thing is, I can have heaven on earth every time I send an invitation. Hey, you want to come over? The game's on. I'd like some heaven in my earth. Come over, we're going to get together and you know, have dinner tonight. Heaven, would you be here? I'm going to spend some time with my kids and it's going to be great. Heaven, you want to come? On earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to walk into this hospital room and I don't know what to say. They want me to come in, they want me to pray a blessing, but I don't want to be there. I want heaven there. I got dreams and goals for 2019. And I'm going to do some incredible things, but I don't want my location to change. I want heaven to be there. So today, whatever place you're in, you need heaven. The place where the Prince of Peace reigns. The place where God, who calls himself love, is. The place where broken things are made new. That we're glorified in such a special way. I had two other verses I didn't tell him, but it says that God is giving you his glory for his people, for you. He wants to give you his glory. Whatever situation you're in, complaining, stuck, wherever it is, God wants to give you his glory, his heaven. He wants it here on earth.